always spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Praise God for the reading of His Word. There's a lot in this passage, and I just want to take a little time to share some things with you concerning how God has spoken at various times and in various ways in times past to the fathers, to the children of Israel, if you will, by the prophets, okay? And we see that throughout the Scripture, and one particular one that I want to lead you to, and you might write these down. I didn't include them in the sermon PowerPoint, but Isaiah 20, verse 2 through 4, reveals how he had to prophesy naked and barefoot for 3 years. Assyria would lead the peoples of Egypt and Cush away into captivity, naked, barefoot, humiliated, with buttocks uncovered. That's what the Scripture says. You'll read that when you look at it. And so Isaiah was prophesying about this, and it was probably supposed to also be a testimony to the children of Israel as they were seeing what God was doing to Egypt and Cush. But for 3 years, he went without clothing. And it may be that he had some kind of, many suspect that he had some kind of small loincloth that exposed the buttocks, but that he didn't go completely naked, you know. But we don't really know. He could have very well. My point is simply that this is one of the various ways in which God chose to prophesy to the people of Israel. The prophet Amos was a farmer who was called to go prophesy. He prophesied for about 2 years, is what they believe. And then he went back to being a farmer again after he was finished prophesying. So whether it was a 2-year, 3-year span, however long it was, the Scripture reveals that he was a farmer before. He prophesied for God, was a prophet of God, and then he went back to being a farmer. Sort of a different way in which God would work. Hosea was one of those prophets of God who was called to marry a harlot who would continue in her harlotry while they were married to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God. His marriage was a visible sign of what he was prophesying. So that's a different way, a various way in which God chose to prophesy. The names of the three children he had with Gomer, that was the prostitute's name, represented different ways of understanding the judgments of God upon the children of Israel. So by their names of those three children, the children of Israel understood that God was judging them. Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, it says that he called for a musician to come and to play. He knew that he needed to prophesy the word of the Lord, but in order to prophesy, he called for a musician. And when the musician started playing the instrument, then it says the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he prophesied. So that was a little different. As a matter of fact, Moses was one of the prophets who God spoke to directly. He spoke audibly to Moses in the burning bush and on the mountain of God when he gave him the law. Visions are another way in which God prophesied through the prophets. Isaiah chapter 6 shows a vivid imagery of Isaiah seeing the kingdom of heaven and God's calling him to go prophesy, to be the one. Dreams. Joseph was the one who had dreams and was able to interpret dreams. Angels delivered the word of God to Daniel, the word that contained the prophecy. So there are many different ways in which God has prophesied in times past, many wonderful and various ways, and ways that seem odd to us, but were the ways that God chose to reveal His Word and to bring His Word to the people. Now, speaking concerning the Word of God, you know, if I were to, I don't know, if you take, I don't have a book up here, but in our library, we have a little section of books that all the people in the Thursday group, they like to get those and take them home. And you've got, I don't know, what's his name, Clive Cluster, and just a bunch of different authors down there. But it's said that when you read a book, that you're actually looking into a picture of that person, that you're sort of looking in, that they may be writing about a completely other thing, but you see a little bit about the author in the book. You could say that that's true about the Word of God, but I believe you could go further concerning the Word of God, the Bible that we have before us. It's much more than a picture. It is the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible, we know that the Scripture says the Word of God is inspired, that it is God-breathed, that it is living and powerful, that this is not a dead book, this is a living book, and Jesus is the revelation that we find within it. No doubt we find the history, we find the revelation of God within the pages of Scripture, but ultimately everything about what's revealed in the Old Testament is leading toward the revelation of Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible, there are 2,500 prophecies in the Old and New Testament. Think about that. 2,500 prophecies within the Word of God. Now, the way you knew in the Old Testament, and it says that the way you knew who a prophet was, who was a prophet and who wasn't, is that the words of the prophet, what is that? Is that me? Sounds like it's coming from this computer. The words of the prophet come to pass, then he's a prophet. If the words don't come to pass, then he's not a prophet. Hallelujah. Of those 2,500, a large majority of them have already come to pass. Amen. No other religion. Think about this. No other religion, no other religious book has prophecies. Let that sink in for a moment. As a matter of fact, other religions, all other religions, have one author of the Scripture that they believe to be inspired or holy. Okay? The Bible, our Bible, 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years, most of whom never knew each other. Wow. One message throughout the whole Scripture. Hallelujah. The revelation of God and His Son. Amen. The revelation of the triune God and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, we find that in many of the Old Testament prophecies, and I'm just going to mention a few. I'm not going to go to these on the screen. I would have loved to have done that, but it would have taken a lot of time, so I'm just going to run through a few. And I'll mention the chapter and verse, and you might want to write them down. Micah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, basically says, from you one will go forth to me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Isaiah, and that, you have no doubt that he's talking about Jesus, who is God in the flesh, who is from eternity. There is no birth. He's not a man in that sense. He is God come in the flesh. Therefore, and in Isaiah 7:14, and you know this one well, the scripture talks about him being born of a virgin and says his name will be called Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel means God with us. It prophesies long ago in the book of Isaiah how the Savior would come, and he would not just be a man, but he would be God in the flesh. Isaiah 9, verse 6, calls him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. In verse 2 it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. If you think about it, when you read that, and we no doubt have repeated that and quoted that together in many of our Advent services, but think about it. That's describing the ministry of Jesus on this earth. The people who walk in darkness saw a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. Talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, bringing people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Isaiah 35 says, this is verses 4 through 6, but verse 5 says, he will save you, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. Again, describing the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I could go on and look at others. Isaiah 50, verse 6 and 7, talks about how his back, I gave my back to those who would strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out my beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Isaiah 52:14 says, his appearance was marred more than any other man. Isaiah 53, verses 10 and verse 12, the Lord was pleased to crush him. And in verse 12 it says, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many. And finally, Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, and I won't read it, but read it all, but it says, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo display. What have we just read? Out of the 2,500 prophecies that are in Scripture, we read just a few, and they showed the birth, the life and ministry of Jesus. They revealed his death. And that last one spoke about his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is so good. It reveals just what we were saying about the Scripture. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now I want you to look with me in the New Testament for just a few verses of Scripture. But before we do that, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Excuse me. Has in these last days spoken to us. In times past, he's spoken to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And what we come to find out if we search the Scriptures is that it was Him, it was Jesus who was in creation and created all things. And there was nothing that was created that wasn't created by Him. We know that He is the Logos. He is the Word. He is God in the flesh. And everything about Him, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is everything. So it makes sense to understand that Jesus, when you start talking about the inspired Word of God, you're talking about Him. Look at verse 3. Who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So here He is. This is the interesting thing about Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is really, from God's perspective, concerning Jesus. You can sort of think of it that way when you read this book. How it started out. God, who in various times, in various ways, spoke through the prophets, is now speaking through His Son Jesus. And so it's God's view about what He's doing in Christ. And then in verse 3 He says, who being the brightness of His glory, of God's glory, and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, when Jesus, who by Himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Hallelujah. Having become so much better than the angels, and He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So, in just speaking and thinking about the Word of God and how it is the revelation of Christ and how He is revealed as the Word to us, I want to read a few scriptures from the New Testament. And then we'll continue to look a little further in Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 16 of Philippians says, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Holding fast the word of life. What's He talking about there? Is He talking about what was preached to you? I think what He's talking about is holding fast to Jesus, the Word of life. Holding fast to Jesus so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. What was from the beginning? This is 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. What was from the beginning? I think He's talking about, I don't think He's just saying what was from the beginning. I think He's saying who. By saying what, He's saying what was from the beginning. It was Jesus. And what we have heard, we've heard Jesus. What we have seen with our eyes, we've seen Jesus. What we have looked at and touched with our hands, we touched Jesus. Now let me read that again. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life. Isn't He talking about Jesus? Isn't He talking about the revelation of Jesus as the Word of life, which encompasses everything about His earthly ministry and all that He did? And the life was manifested. The life was manifested. Who's He talking about? Jesus. He just described Him as the Word of life and said, and the life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Manifested to us how? In the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of life. Look at Revelation 19, verse 13. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus, in those closing chapters of Revelation, and it shows him to be the one with the robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but incorruptible. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God." Hallelujah. The thing is about seed, is seed produces after its kind, right? Hallelujah. We've been born of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. So as we spend time in the Word of God, as we fellowship with Him and find out more about Him and experience Him through the Word, man, something wonderful happens. The imperishable seed breaks forth within us. The imperishable seed, which describes our eternal life and describes our new creation in Christ Jesus, but at the same time, the seed of the Word, we're told to implant it in our hearts. And it's going to grow and bring forth a fruitful harvest. Listen, it's sad to say, but statistics say that only 40% of pastors have ever read the Bible from end to end. Only 40%. Listen, we need the Word of God. And we need to feed it into our lives. We need a healthy intake of the Word of God every single day, because when we're taking it in, we're taking in Jesus. We're taking in the Word of life. We're taking in the Word of God. And He is changing us. The Scripture says that we're being changed from one stage of glory to another by the Spirit of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. So then if you look at John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Hallelujah. I don't think that it's by any stretch of the imagination to understand that when this Scripture was canonized and it was given to us, that they believed that this was the inspired Word of God. Hallelujah. That Jesus is, and what was God, is God, and is in every bit of this. Hallelujah. You want to spend time with Jesus? Get into His Word. He was the beginning with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Did you see that? Apart from Jesus Christ, there is nothing in all of creation that has come into being apart from Him. Hallelujah. We talk about God as Creator. Jesus is Creator. Jesus was right there. God three in one, bringing about creation. Nothing was made apart from Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 14:6 says, "Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Hallelujah. I mean, I just want you to understand that the Scripture shows Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. He is God. He is God in the flesh. He is Creator. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega, which means if you want to be in the end, if you want to be standing in the end, then you want to be with Him. How could you be standing otherwise? Jesus is the Word of Life. Hallelujah. Now I want you to look with me again at Hebrews verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, "For which of the angels did He ever say, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you'?" Who's He talking about? He's saying, to which of the angels did God the Father ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? He didn't ever say that to any other angel. And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." No. In that way, no, the angels are not revealed as sons. There may be one scripture in the scripture it calls the angels sons of God, but not in that respect. Not in this respect of being His only begotten Son. But verse 6 says, "And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, 'And let all the angels of God worship Him.'" Thus clarifying that God, when God revealed Jesus, it was understood that He was not in the angel class. "And of the angels," He says, "who makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire? But of the Son," He says, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom." And so He's revealing Jesus is King. These are ministering spirits, and Jesus is the supreme King that has the royal scepter on the throne. "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth." Talking about Jesus. Who's talking about Jesus? God is. God the Father. "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they all will become old like a garment. And like a mantle, you will roll them up like a garment. They will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." Verse 13. "But to which of the angels has He ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" He's never said that to an angel. I think the point is that Jesus is not an angel. But there are angels. But don't worship angels. Don't even think about putting Jesus in the same class as angels. He's the one who sits at the right hand until God makes all of His enemies a footstool for His feet. And then He looks at the angels again and says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" And so the writer of Hebrews is showing, and God really is showing us that Jesus is sitting on the throne and He's ruling from a place of authority. And the angels now are ministering spirits that are sent out to minister and carry forth the Word of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I'm going to invite the musicians to come this morning, and we're about to sing this hymn of invitation. But I just want you to see this. I pray that the Lord is revealing to you this morning and just speaking to your heart and allowing you to see the depth of the Word of God and the living Word of God, the Word of life that is revealed in and through Christ Jesus. He's everything. That's why we need to come to Him. That's why there is no good works that can get us into heaven. There's nothing that can take us to that place where we need to be with Him. It's only Jesus. It's only faith in Christ. It's only clinging to Him that really can bring forth the encouragement that we're looking for. We were reading that scripture, we were singing that song earlier, Trust and Obey. And in that line of scripture, line of that song, it was saying, it was talking about the things that God wants us to experience, the heavenly joy, all of the goodness that He wants us to know. But it comes forth, it breaks forth in our spirit as we draw near to Him. Hallelujah. That incorruptible seed that needs to birth and grow and flourish in our lives. And it only can as we draw near to Him. Amen. Today, if the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, if you realize you need to reach out and touch Him, take hold of Him. He's here. He wants to take hold of you. Would you stand as we sing?